a very good evening to you. This is Gospel for Grampian, and it's the Power Hour. What's the Power Hour all about? It's about applying God's Word in prayer, and that's what we're here to do. And in this program, this particular program, it's Good Friday. What does Good Friday mean? Well, I was reminded of what Good Friday meant when I saw a Facebook message, or rather a Facebook post, and it simply said, "It is finished." That's why it's good. Good Friday means that Jesus came to the earth and he completed everything that he intended to complete. And that means that Jesus Christ came to the earth to die for each one of us, whether we deserve it or not. Now, what we're thinking about today is a theme of mercy, not sacrifice. And this is actually summed up both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. As I said, we're going to be putting God's Word into prayer, using God's Word to help us to pray, and then praying so that we can better understand God's Word, better understand what Christ did for us. And then we've actually got an active example of where someone went out and actually sacrificed. I'm not just talking about Jesus himself, but where someone who I know decided that he would go out and give of himself in a merciful way towards others. So let's think about mercy, not sacrifice. Hosea 6 verse 6 says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Matthew 9 verse 13 says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew 12 verse 7 says, "If you had known what these words meant, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent." So what does all this mean in our lives? Well, thinking about Lent, Lent is the period running up to Easter. And it's the time when we understand that Jesus himself went into the wilderness to be tested and tempted. And he was tempted in certainly three ways that the Bible mentions. And one of those ways was where Jesus was persuaded to go and turn stones into bread. Jesus did not yield to that persuasion. He was also persuaded, but he did not yield to that persuasion, to jump down from the roof of the temple onto the ground below, the highest point of the temple. He did not do that. He was persuaded to go and follow someone else rather than God. But he was tested. And why was he tested? He was tested so that he might prove himself worthy. Each of us, every day, we go through times of testing and times of temptation. And very often, we don't come out of it very well at all. Sometimes those testing and temptation may be little annoyances that come our way. It may be pride. It may be having lots of money and not using that money in the right way. It could be any number of things. But Jesus was tested in that wilderness just as we are. Very often people think that Lent is about abstaining from things. It could be abstaining from alcohol. It could be abstaining from one particular thing like coffee or chocolate, a typical things. And yeah, I've done it before. And oh dear, wasn't it difficult? But Jesus has gone through all that for us. What is Jesus calling us to do instead? Jesus is actually calling us to have mercy on people by way of not judging them, by way of continuously being ready to put ourselves out for others, to spend ourselves on behalf of others. Mark chapter 12 verse 33 puts things very well. And we will pick up on that. Now in this one, Jesus is talking to one of the teachers. And we start at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is hear this, O Israel. The Lord is the one. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So this sets things out very quickly and very clearly, because God is not talking about abstaining from certain foods. What he is concerned about is that all humans are able to live life to the full, and that, I have to say, is what we are about at Gospel for Grampian, is live life to the full. In John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life to the full." And this is what each one of us is to do, however hard we may find it. Let's go through those things again. Love the Lord God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. So God's talking instead about spending ourselves, it's about loving others, about loving God. And when we do that, then we are starting to enter in to what has been planned from long ago. Christ himself came to show the way to move forward in life. He came to set an example, but he also spent of himself for us, knowing that in ourselves, we get it wrong as human beings. But Christ came to spend himself, and in so doing, when he died on the cross at Calvary, he gave each one of us an opportunity to get to know him. And our response is simply to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and loving our neighbour as yourself, as ourselves, because Christ first loved us, each and every one of us, right where we are. There's nothing that we can do to deserve that. All he asks is that we reach out to love others. Let's come right now to prayer. Heavenly Father, just in a few short minutes, we have been thinking about loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, about how mercy is much more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and loving our neighbour, about loving you first and foremost, and remembering, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross in our place. Lord Jesus Christ, it seems, Father God, it seems so difficult, even when we ourselves as believers have done this, and yet we find it so hard on a daily basis to keep that up. And that's where, listeners, another scripture comes into being. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Take up your cross and follow Christ. So loving God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbours yourself, it means being aware of your own limitations and taking up a cross. And the thing is, we believers, yes, we have to take up our cross, but we need to remember that as we do so, Christ walks with us. He is with us when we are obedient. So Lord, help each and every believer to realize that you are walking right with us, that all we need to do is, yes, to take up our cross and to follow you. Lord, it seems so hard. We think, how on earth can we pick up a cross and follow? And the cross, Lord, we know it's just represented by each day's troubles, by our own insecurities, by other people, by situations and circumstances. Help us to have the courage to do that, Lord God, and to demonstrate most certainly your love to others. Give us the peace so that we can give other people the peace. Help us to demonstrate fully your love to others. And I pray, Lord God, for others, that as they look up and they see your people actively loving you with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, and our neighbour as ourselves, taking up our cross, that they will be encouraged and they will see sense in what is sometimes a very difficult thing to understand fully. Lord Jesus Christ, just thank you. Thank you and thank you. Help us to follow your example and to indeed be ready to pray for others. Amen. What we're now going to do is to play for your listeners an interview which I took this morning with Philip Rose from Operation Mobilization. Now, Philip Rose himself decided, he works for Operation Mobilization, and he decided he was going to go out and work with Operation Mobilization at a Serbian refugee camp. It wasn't so much cleaning and tidying that he had to do, simply being there to listen. He had to find his own way, but when he went out there, he struck up so many friendships. And the stories that he has to say, tell us, I think, show a lot about how we are to be, how humans, how believers are to be, to demonstrate God's love, and how necessary it is, and how other people really do appreciate that. At the end of this, we'll have a prayer, and I'll be reminding you of some other scriptures. Let's listen in now to that interview. From Operation Mobilization, we welcome Philip Rose to the programme. Hello, Philip.
Hi, good morning.
You have been away to a missionary camp with Operation Mobilization to Serbia. Could you tell us more about that and how you got involved with that?
International, we work in, as most folks know, we work in over 110 countries across the world. And because of the refugee crisis, we'll be working in particularly across Europe, called the Safe Passage Project, from Lesbos all the way across to Germany. In every country we have a team helping to serve the refugees, etc. And particularly where I was in Serbia, we were asked by the UN to help them out, the United Nations, UNHCR and the Red Cross who are there. And there's a camp, call it a camp, but basically it's an old service station next to the motorway. And there's 1,200 refugees there, and as most folks know, the borders are closed now for refugees. The flow has been stopped, so they're stuck there. Some have been there 6 months or more, some are just fairly recent. So there's nothing for them to do. They get fed morning, afternoon and evening, and in between, it's like Groundhog Day is the best way to describe it. There's nothing for them to do. So during the winter there, it was pretty bleak for them. And OM put a call out to OMers across the world to help supplement the current team that's there, to give them time off. So each week there's new people arrive, like I did, and spent a week there serving at about 600 cups of tea a day in my shift and befriending the refugees. That was the kind of core work that OM are doing. So it's not evangelism, it's not preaching, but it's just one-to-one, just chatting to people and hearing the stories of.
All right, okay. And what were conditions like in the camp? I mean, given that people had nothing to do, but was it good, clean sanitation or what?
We weren't allowed because of the nature of, you could say this is their home, so we weren't allowed to go into their accommodation. So we have a tent at the camp, plus there's other tents because there's too many of them to go into the old hotel building. And like there's a tent there which houses 150 men in three-tier bunk beds.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine during the winter that was Baltic, freezing cold.
I can only imagine. What is the general temperatures in Serbia just at the moment?
At the moment when I left, it's gone down at the moment, but when I left last week it was 26 degrees in the last 5 days. So in the winter they came into our tent for chai and heat, because our tent was heated, and now they come into our tent for chai and they sit in the shade of our tent and use our tables and benches to play drafts and also table tennis and Uno or whatever, just to kind of break the monotony. That's what we do in OM. We supplied all this. I took over colouring books and colouring pencils, and the kids, their wee eyes lit up when any of that at all. They don't have any luxuries. So, yeah, it was just good to be there. At the end of the day, we're really a sounding board for them, and just to hear some of the stories, the tragic stories of some people, it's just to be God's hands and feet and ears, and just to listen. And I'm still in contact with some of them through Facebook, because the hotel service station has Wi-Fi that the government have provided, so that helps them contact the relatives back home, and also those who they're hoping to meet. The refugees mainly come from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan and Iran and Pakistan. That's the bulk of the ones that I spoke to and who I befriended.
And as you said, it's Groundhog Day for them. What's the sort of general mood like? I mean, you're able to do only so much.
The mood varies. Sometimes the tempers flare. But at the end of the day, you know, they get on well with one another, considering they're from various backgrounds and from various faiths, of various Muslim faiths, and also those of no faith. And then the ones that I chatted with, and a good rapport with, is the Christians. If I was to recount two stories to you, one, a guy called Yarnazeb, he's from Afghanistan. He was was about a year old and his mother died. So he had no mother figure in his life. He was put pillar to post from uncles to aunts. And his dad looked after him as best he could. But then his dad was imprisoned by the Taliban for 7 years. And in that 7 years, he was tortured, brutally tortured and beaten. And when he was released after 7 years, he huge mental health issues. So him and his dad left Afghanistan and went to Pakistan. And Janazeb went to college there and studied business management. Well, his dad was getting counselling and support, but then it became Parkinson's and he died. So he was left with nothing, no family there, and put into Afghanistan. There was nothing there for him, still the Taliban. So he fled across Europe and ended up in Serbia. And I could tell by his whole demeanour that he just needed someone to love him, someone to listen to his story. And he's on his own, whereas a lot of others are with friends and stuff. He travelled himself. That's his one story. Another one is a couple called Sahi and Mohsin. They're from Iran. Both of them were previously married and got divorced. And for Moshe, that was fine. He's a man, you can get divorced. But for Sahi, as a woman, that's frowned upon. They have, as you know, women in that faith have no real rights of any sort. And she had a son, and then she met Mohsin, and they get married. So that was frowned upon. And then she studied law and philosophy, and through that she graduated and had her own business. And through studying philosophy, she started researching into other religions and faith. And from that, to cut a long story short, she became a Christian. And Mohsin became a Christian as well. But in Iran, it's against the law to change faith. So they were reported, I guess one of his relatives reported him to the security forces. So they knew then that their time was coming to an end because they were going to be killed, because that's what they do. So he owned his own company, his own business, so they closed it down, closed their house down, and then fled across Europe, going through countries like Macedonia, Montenegro, Bulgaria, etc. And in Bulgaria, they're in a camp in a tent, and there's minus 10, 15 degrees, and it's something that they hadn't experienced before. She has MS, and she woke up one morning in a lot of pain and couldn't walk because her legs were turning black with the cold.
Oh.
So the medics there poured vodka over her legs
help.
To stimulate the blood flow. From there, they fled into Turkey, into Izmir, paid €1,600 to be on a boat, take them to Kos in Greece, and then they spent the next 3 months going through the various countries. At one point there was 13 of them inside a car that crashed, and then eventually they've been a couple of months now in Serbia. And amazing people, a lovely, lovely couple, you know, and so genuine. And when you talk to them and hear their stories, you know, they just cry and you cry. When we were leaving, you know, we gave each other a hug and I prayed for them, and I've been in contact with them on Facebook. Yeah, sad stories, and what do we do? All we can do is pray that governments will come to some sort of agreement to allow the refugees to move on. Because, okay, some people will say, well, why should we let refugees in this country? We've got too many of them. That may be the case, and they'll say that they're economic migrants. That may also be the case. But we've had economic migrants in the West for the last 50, 60 years or more. It's nothing new. But coupled with that, we'll get people who are fleeing for their lives. Believe me when I say it, that they would love to go back to their own countries and continue their lives there, but it's too dangerous for them. They'd be killed, and some have been killed. Even some of the Christians in some of the boats that don't tell you on television. And in some of the boats when they're sailing from Turkey to Greece, if they found out that somebody is a Christian, they'd throw them overboard and they'd be drowned. Rob, that's not a cheery story here on Good Friday.
Well, indeed, but these are all human stories about real people who have a life, in a sense, before them, which has been cut short, but a life in which, wherever they are, they can actually give so much if only they are allowed to, if only they are allowed to fully be able to settle and have some form of security in their lives. I think that could be summed up like that, really.
Yeah. And as Christian, someone, a newspaper reporter asked me yesterday, why do you do it? I said, because God compelled us to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is not just by words, it's by your actions as well.
Demonstrating.
Demonstrating the love. And we bonded really well. There was one guy called Abelur, an amazing guy, a lovely man, who was the principal of a college and everything, and because of all the problems there, had to flee the country with his five-year-old son. Otherwise, you know, there's a good chance he'd have been killed because he gave up the Islamic faith. He was a photographer as well. He was public relations director. He edits movies and stuff. So he's now living. And when he was saying cheerio to me, he hugged me. And he burst out sobbing his heart out because we just bonded so well. And at that moment, I cried as well. And I just felt for them. I thought, God, what can I do for these people? All I can do is pray. And I'm still in contact with them through Facebook. Facebook's a great medium. Has bad side, but it's also a great medium for keeping contact, sending photographs to one another, and just words of comfort. And Abelur has sent me a couple of photographs yesterday of our last picture together. Yeah, so OM is working across the Safe Passage Project across Europe. We're needing finances to keep the work going. Because making 1,200 cups of tea a day is costly. We don't get paid. I have to pay my own way to get there. It probably cost me about £500 or something, which I managed to get together. But we pay three local men in Serbia, so there's a consistency of a team there who know the safety regulations of making tea in the chai, and that's supplemented by OM people or friends of OM from the UK, Germany, the Netherlands, France. And there was one of the team members there from Barbados, all the way there just to make cups of tea and play with the kids and just chat.
Okay, so people who are listening, how can they actually help? How can they actually make a difference, an extra help and into people's lives?
Pray is the core thing of Christians, to pray for the situation, pray that the governments would get their lives, their system sorted out so that these refugees can move on. And if anyone in the UK is worried, I never spoke to anyone who wanted to come to the UK. they all want to stay within Europe, to Italy and Germany. Now, pray. Go onto the OM website, which is all the W's, uk.om.org. There's a drop-down menu there for give. Click on the give, and then you can put in, if you want to make a donation to what the work is, put in the refugee, the word refugee or Safe Passage Project, and give a donation. And that would go a long way to helping the work that OM is doing out there. So you can be part of it, because in OM we want to be partners with people. And I know a lot of people don't feel God lead them to go somewhere, but God maybe lead them to say, you've got a few spare pounds there, why don't you donate it? Why don't you help someone? And that 10, 15, 20 pounds or whatever will go a long way to helping OM provide the comfort and the space for these people. I want to call them people because behind the faces of refugees are real people with real stories and real life.
Yeah, agreed with that. Now, if, say, OM had all the resources they needed to, what would be the ideal plan, Philip, of how OM would like to proceed with this?
We can't do anything but do what we're doing. As far as the refugee situation, that's down to governments, to the politicians. We can only continue to serve tea, to be a witness to them, and we have seen people become Christians through the presence of OM people across Europe, from Lesbos. We've seen hundreds of Muslims coming to faith in Christ because they're confronted with the fact, here's a Christian, an infidel who we're told to hate, we're told to kill, but he's given me food, he's given me medical aid, he's given me clothes. So we've had people, there's one guy I know, the student of a guy called Kareem, who got an angel from, that's a New Testament in Arabic, travelled for 6 weeks across Europe and met another UN person in Germany and confronted the UN person and said, tell me, how can I become a follower of this Jesus of yours? That makes it all worthwhile.
It does. I think, actually, just to finish off, Philip, I would like to thank you for coming on, and it's great that you've been able to tell us even some of these stories, sad as they are, but yet these are reflections of people's lives, people who could be and do so much if only they were allowed, and hopefully this will speak to a lot of our listeners as well as they listen in, not only today, but on tomorrow evening between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. and on Monday afternoon between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. as well. And we'll also make this interview available as a podcast because, it is a very significant one. Shall we actually pray for the situation that the governments and the nations will come to a realization that these people need to have that help and need to have that security to be able to move even back to their own countries again, or at least to have security right where they are and be able to move forward in their lives.
Yeah, if you could pray about that, would be great.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for organizations like Operation Mobilization, for people like Philip Rose who've taken the time and trouble to go out to give of themselves. And yet, Lord God, there's so much wrong in this world, so much wrong whereby the governments are telling people what they should and shouldn't do. So much wrong, Lord God, whereby people are not able to live life to the full the way that you intended, Lord God. Please clarify the situation in people's minds, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that these people who are refugees wouldn't just be political pawns in some kind of weird situation, but people to be respected, people to be uplifted. And Lord, that these people themselves, they need the security, they need the peace of mind, they need to know that they're going forward. I thank you, Lord, for the good things that are happening, but yet, Lord God, so much more can happen. Thank you, Lord, where your name is being lifted up through the actions of others. But Lord, it needs to go much further. And we pray, Lord God, that even radio stations like this can go ahead throughout the world and shine lights into these places, Lord God. Take the gospel where even people may not be able to go, but take the gospel. And we just give you thanks. We give you praise for all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you and thank you. Amen.
Rob, if anyone listening would like to come to their church or meeting, however, I'm willing to travel anywhere in Scotland to share the stories that I've recounted and others about the camp and also work that they do. We're also working in Iraq and Syria. I can't say where or what we're doing, but we work in all these countries and God is doing a mighty work. So if anyone wants to come to their church and get in contact with me through the Glasgow office or through our website.
Excellent. Do you have want to give a telephone number for the office so that people can get in contact or an email address?
My email, which is philip.rose, that's R-O-S-E, at om.org. That's philip.rose@om.org.
Excellent. Come along. Excellent, Philip. Can I thank you so much for coming on today? And we're going to be finishing off again with Father's. Are there any more songs from Father's song to come, or is that to... Have they recorded last?
I haven't recorded any more, just the call involved. But if you play any Father song, or you play Praise Gathering, the choir that is going to be doing concerts 10th, 11th of June, the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow, choir of over 300 people from 80 different churches, are going to be raising the roof of the Royal Concert Hall. So if anyone's in the Glasgow area, 10th, 11th of June, in the Royal Concert Hall, get your tickets.
Anyway, it so happens I have another Father's song available, and it's going to be today.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay, so thank you once again, Philip, and be in touch, and we'll put this interview out on podcast at the completion of this program.
Oh, that'd be good to listen to it, pass it on.
Okay.
And listen to my old friend, Rachel Summers.
She's been in contact this morning, and I'm delighted to say that she actually tells me that she's got a new job in Aberdeenshire, teaching English as a foreign language. So well done to Rachel, and she's...
Yeah. I'll hopefully see her sometime.
Thanks very much to Philip Rosen for coming on there and for telling us about a great work that is undertaken by Operation Mobilization in places like Serbia and indeed beyond. And very often these people give of themselves, and they really do. Then, just in other good news stories today that I've heard, because during a program called Community Elements, we have a section called Brian's Good News, and Brian, who is one of our volunteers, he goes and selects good news stories about different things that are happening locally. And one of those good news stories was simply about how an owner had been reunited with a dog. Well, all right, it's a dog, some people might say. But people take their pets very seriously. And when a pet falls down a cliff, or indeed if it was a child and fallen down the cliff, it's treated the same. The child, or a person, or indeed a dog, is treated the same, and the RNLI were drafted out to come and rescue said dog, which they did, and they reunited the dog with its owner. Now, yes, that's a good news story, but it shows that there are people out there who go that one step further. They are passionate about what they do. Philip is passionate, Rose is passionate about what he does for Operation Mobilization. We are passionate here at the radio station about making sure that people are not only able to hear the gospel, hear the word of God, because we've got our program Hearing is Believing, but also that we shine a light on the work of organizations like Operation Mobilization, like some of the good work that is done locally, for example, by the Seafarers Centre here in Aberdeen, by some of the good food banks, Seafine, for example. These people, as I say, they go the extra mile. Then you've got work of the RNLI and other people too, who give of themselves passionately, and they give of themselves consistently. Christ gave of himself most certainly when he gave himself on the cross for each one of us. Let's take again a chance to read these passages that I believe are really important and demonstrate Christ's love for each one of us. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on in him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, for through the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So that was actually from Isaiah 53. Let's now go and have a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses, chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1, 3 and 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ has died in our place. And a little bit later on, you have the opportunity to hear about God's love for each one of us, and that is each one of us. This is compiled from scriptures taken across the Bible, and it's compiled in a love letter. And after that, you'll have the opportunity to respond to that. Let's go and pray. Heavenly Father, in this power hour, I pray, Lord, that all these scriptures and these different things that we've heard today are going to continue to speak to our listeners, continue to speak to people, that they might understand, they might realize your sacrifice on the cross. They might realize your great love for each one of us. Lord God, for those who are in just turmoil thinking, is this even worthwhile doing? Lord God, that they would listen back to this, and there's something in what is said, either on this station or in this program, or something that they hear or see or experience, will help them to realize that yes, this offer of salvation is very much real, and that you can be trusted because you have already paid the price. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You tuned into Gospel for Grampian, and this is the Power Hour. We're going to have some lovely music for you, and this is Hymns with Marlene O'Neill and also Ian White, Psalm 131. We might even also be able to get in Andy Green as well with Amazing Grace. Let's listen away to this. This is indeed Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland, engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full.
My child, this is an intimate message from God to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry. I am the complete expression of love. and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than any earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with joy, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are broken-hearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you, even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father, and you will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God. Would you like to come home? All you need to do is simply believe that Jesus died in your place to make a way for you to be born into his family. The following words might help you express your thoughts to God. Father, I want to come home. Please make me your child. I turn from my sin and accept your forgiveness made possible through your Son Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I place my faith and trust in Jesus alone to save me. Thank you for making me a part of your family. Amen.
If you have prayed that prayer and you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can start to pick up your Bible from the shelf and read God's Word. You can also phone the studio at 01224 898 008 and you can also drop us an email, info@gospelforgrampiang4g.org.uk. From there, we will help you get to a church which is local to you and will help you guide you in your newfound spiritual life.